Nikki.
Hey, Selena.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to Sweet Tea and TV.
Hey, y'all.
Ready to jump in?
I am ready. All right. I'm very excited to talk about this one.
Designing Women, Season 5, Episode 23. I just feel like I can't say it right, because if I yell it too loud, it's in people's ears. But if I just say 4, it's boring.
4! I think that's good.
So Suzanne hears that the Beaumont Driving Club is accepting one new member, but becomes frustrated when Anthony is chosen to join, even though it's only a token gesture to get the club onto the PGA Tour. Air date May 6th, 1991. We're calling this one Crawling Buck Naked Over Broken Glass. It was directed by David Trainer and written by Pam Norris. I just flipped that up on you.
That's good.
I just flipped it up.
Yeah, that's good.
What kind of general reactions do you have?
Well, my first general reaction is that Crawling Buck Naked Over Broken Glass is also referred to as a Monday. So, just think about
that.
And
then a Tuesday, right? A Wednesday.
just let that one sit with you, will you? But I was going to say that I guess it's only right we return to the Beaumont Driving Club one more time before Suzanne leaves.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
That was my very, very first general reaction. And then I'll just go ahead and also share pair with that. Generally, it just tickles me to see Anthony get into this club over Suzanne, and then poking at her, of course, was also just delightful.
Yeah.
How about you?
The only general reaction I had to this episode, because the rest of mine are all pretty stray, is we're on a heater with Randa joining episodes. This is the third episode in a row this child has been in.
That's right.
I was not expecting that.
Right. Yeah. One of our highest return rates ever.
That's true. She has returned a lot more than the men on the show.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
I just have one more general reaction.
Okay.
Did Anthony just steal an episode from Suzanne?
Oh.
It clearly starts out as hers. This is all about her latest scheme to get into this elusive and exclusive club. But once he gets invited in, it really turns into an Anthony episode. And I want to say maybe his best episode yet. I think it's like a top. It's a top for me already.
Yeah, probably. Because we haven't had that many Anthony episodes.
No, because usually it's the other way around, right?
Right.
We're like, it's Anthony's birthday. Anthony. Yeah. Let's talk about Suzanne. Yeah. I mean, that's a bad example, but you know what I'm saying. So
we might. I think this is one of my thoughts as we round out this season, is that I think having vague recollections of the show, knowing my mom watched the show, there are certain characters that I honestly was just expecting more of. And I feel like I remember Anthony being a much bigger character in the show than he's really been. So I wonder if in the next couple of seasons, the last few seasons of the show, if he kind of comes up as a more featured player partly because we're losing Suzanne.
I mean, that's my memory of the show.
Space for him. Okay.
Is that we get a lot more of him.
I don't really remember the newer episodes either.
I don't know I remember content as much, but like also I do know that like some like favorite parts of people's that have to do with him and Bernice in particular have not happened yet.
Okay.
And their relationship seems to really tick up.
Okay.
And their time together, their hangs, if you will. Are you ready to do stray observations or?
I am.
Okay. What you got?
Thinking. Thinking, why is this in Stray versus a, maybe because I just want to talk about it more.
Okay.
Charlene and her intros in the episodes always send me Stray. Like every time she starts talking, I immediately go down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Helen was the one that she talked about. Helen, Georgia?
Yes, except she just calls it a Swiss village.
Yes.
Right.
And you and I have talked about that here on the show before.
Mm-hmm.
How it's a city in North Georgia, and it is the sister city to Füssen, Bavaria, Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And Füssen has 6 sister cities around the world, I found out.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There's one in Italy, and there's one in Japan, among other places.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
But not Swiss,
no.
Yeah.
Not that I know.
I think that was a faux pas, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also wanted to comment on the random names, Sissy Farenholt and Biddy Cantrell. Just the really southern Beaumont Driving Club names just keep popping back up.
And we always get like a Biddy, I think.
A Biddy and a Sissy.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
You know? What are you going to do? What do you have, Stray?
I hate the Hokey Pokey. Even when I was little, I hated it. Oh. I may have been like the only child
that hated the Hokey Pokey.
Yeah, I was like.
You get to turn around.
Hated it.
It's real joy in life. Just stand there and turn around in a circle.
Can't you just picture me as a little 35-year-old? Can't you just sit a little over bit? Here? Thank you. I'm like, why don't y'all let me know when this childishness is over? I'm watching Designing Women today. And then a kid like pushed me down and spit on me. Anyways, Randa wanted a $300 Versace purse. That would be $679 today. I actually think that's kind of low. Most of what I was seeing when I was looking up just some like, what would happen if I just pulled up some Versace purses? Most were around like $1,200 on average. Just eyeballing.
Do you think Julia never said, like, that is way too expensive for a purse for a child only because it's kind of tacky to talk about the price of something? Or do you think Julia has the money and just didn't want to spend it? That confused me a little bit.
I think it's more the second one. It's just like, I think some people would consider it inappropriate, yeah, for a kid to have something like that.
All this time later, can't tell what financial status Julia is in. We've talked quite a bit about Suzanne's.
Yeah.
But we talked about the early on, or like season one, season two, about Sugar Baker's not being the best, like financially, wasn't doing the best.
And that plot point gets picked up from time to time again.
Right. Yeah. So it just always makes me wonder or feel like maybe Julia's not that well off. Mm-hmm. But then in this episode, she talked about maybe I will join Beaumont, which they've also alluded to being really expensive. Mm-hmm. So now I can't tell where Julia sits financially.
Or like, I guess the other thing is if your business was floundering, wouldn't you put some of that money in
right.
into it?
Right.
Instead of making everyone suffer and wonder if the business was going to stay open. Exactly. That's not really a question for us to answer. That will probably be a question for the writers.
So many of our questions are.
Showrunners.
So many of our questions are. I told you in the last episode that I didn't believe Bernice didn't know what the middle finger meant.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are. So it's possible. Because she knows what, and maybe it's just lodged in her brain now because Julia so like patiently explained it to her last time. Mm-hmm. But she just so casually pulls it out this time. She knows what the middle finger meant.
She's always known in her heart.
I also wonder why there's so much gum on the storeroom floor that Anthony has to like take time to clean it up.
Oh my God. That's a wonderful question. Yeah. Why would that be?
Who
happening?
Are these people putting gum on this? There's only like four or five people going in the storeroom floor, going in the storeroom and being right. on the floor.
Why would that happen?
Why is there so much gum?
Yeah. And why would any of them do that in their own storeroom?
This is what I'm saying.
Everyone knows you only put your gum in someone else's storeroom
or under the desk. Why is it on the floor?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
It's just in there. They're just gabbing away. It just falls out.
Exactly. And they just leave it?
I guess so. Is it all the strays?
I have cut lines. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I have cut lines.
I saw you thinking.
Yeah. I was trying to. Sometimes I write all the cut lines down and then my intention is to go back and make sure they all make sense. And I don't always do that, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
I will say when Suzanne called Dee Dee, they cut out, oh, poo, it's an answering machine, which I felt like made that transition to her really loudly telling, like being on the phone later and loudly saying she can fill in on the golf play date cleaner. It just made a transition clear without that cut.
Mm-hmm.
There was also a cut line later where Julia says she tells someone to take the invitation, fold it in five corners and put it where the sun don't shine.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that.
We hadn't heard that one. Yeah. That's why I brought it up.
Was it five corners or four corners last time? The corners increase over time.
No, it's a pentagon.
Yeah. It's
maybe.
Serious.
Right.
Season seven, we're going to be treated to an eight cornered one.
They folded into 20 corners. All right. That'll be the end of my cut lines and the end of my strays.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Okay. You can share whatever you want to. This is your podcast.
I'm good.
Okay. I was going to do a little Suzanne watch.
Of course you were. I hope you remember the music.
Suzanne. I changed it.
Watch.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. So, skillapoopda Suzanne.
Watch.
There you go. See, look. Let's see if we remember next time.
Yeah,
because it's different. So
every time.
We only have two watches left. Did anything ping for you in this one, Nikki?
Well, you mentioned it a minute ago that she sort of was usurped from the main thrust of the episode by Anthony. Mm-hmm. And he was clearly jabbing at her several times throughout the episode. So mm-hmm. again, this goes back to my Bob Saget hosting at the end of his tenure on AFE thing, though. If you didn't know about the drama happening off screen, I don't know that any of this would have resonated with you as Agreed. Uncomfortable or unnecessary. Sure. It just would have felt like a natural extension of the characters. But now, knowing what we can't unknow, it does feel a little pointed.
Yes. And so, yeah, I definitely kind of took away my own Suzanne watch in the beginning of the show. But it's even struck me too. Like at the end, she really felt like a peripheral character she's like with all the other like club people, you know? And so like in the slightest way, I think I've seen her in a while when they have used her. Still, mm-hmm. and she makes it to the end of an episode,
right?
And then she was basically like background actor.
Yeah, they didn't even really do anything funny with her.
Only like, Julia.
They did something very funny at the golf store with her, mm-hmm. but then she faded away a little bit toward the end.
Yeah, and that's just such a weird place for her to be in. So we don't like it when she's in a weird place, but we do like things. What did you like about this episode?
Nice Maybe. Transition.
So good. Seamless, really.
It was beautiful.
Thank you.
I did like that golf shop scene in particular. Anthony had some really funny lines when she said Anthony is one of Sugar Baker's many delivery men. And he said, couldn't we get some of those others to help us out? I really liked that. And then when Mary Jo was correcting Suzanne that Anthony is no longer the delivery man, he is actually a partner and a recent magna cum laude graduate of a local university, blah, blah, blah. And he replies, yes, but I still enjoy hauling white people's packages around just for old time's sake.
Best line of like maybe the series.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good.
That was amazing. The delivery was great. The timing was great. And then the words just all came together really nicely. The other thing I wanted to say that I really liked was even though he knew this sketchy, horrible thing was happening to him, that he was being used as a token, he did seem to genuinely enjoy himself through the process. And in particular, I was thinking about the amount of satisfaction he must have felt when he got to tell Suzanne he had been granted admission.
Yes.
He was on to it the whole time. He knew.
And this is the same Susan. Okay.
Susan.
It's not even the right name and the right word. It's all bad. Anyways, it's the same season where she's like trying to keep him from being partner.
Yeah.
In like subconscious ways and like conscious ways. Right. You know, we think she's learned her lesson. She hasn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that must have felt really good.
I agree. I also really like that conversation that you have with Julia. So he says, oh, Julia, come on. I did not just fall off the turnip truck. I know these people wanted me for my ancestry, but did they get in on good looks? I don't think so. Doesn't it bother you? No, Julia, I know the score. In fact, I am miles ahead of these people. They figure they'll give me an honorary membership, get me on their rolls, and then just conveniently forget to invite me to any club functions until I just fade away. That's what you're thinking? Approximately. That may be their plan, but it's not mine. You want to hear my plan? I'm going to every party. I'm going to every dance, every barbecue, and every time a group's picture is taken, I'll be in the front row going, cheese. And I loved it.
That was really good. And I will say, I am not always Julia's biggest fan, but I appreciated in this episode, that had to have been a really tough conversation to have with him. It needed to happen in case he didn't know. And she, for all intents and purposes, she didn't think he knew. And that had to be a really challenging conversation, but only a true friend would do that. Right. And she really did it. And I thought that was nice.
I think while we're on this Anthony train, he was like, I just thought he was on fire. Like, you know, we almost, I think in our last episode or two episodes ago, we talked about Anthony being largely absent from the episodes where we're going to be like, maybe we need an Anthony watch,
but the New Orleans episode.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So he was back in this one and in a big way. He was the most on fire. I've seen him. All the things you shared already, they all clicked for me. I really liked it. I also liked his reaction to being mistaken for the valet.
Oh,
hello there. A good evening. Lovely party, isn't it? Can you move my car, the silver Porsche? Why, surely. Oh, look, your house key's on here. Thanks. No, thank you. I loved all that. I thought that was really fantastic, and he deserved that.
He did.
He should.
It's true.
He totally should have parked his car
and
somewhere
more
else.
Yeah.
Leaning in for that kiss on Biddy Biffy or Boomy's cheek for the paper. Like, he knows exactly who he's with, and I love that he knows, and I love that he's going to take them to task, because absolutely someone should.
Yeah.
I also just wanted to share, I did think Suzanne is worried Anthony is getting too big for his britches. She can't hardly get him to wax her upper lip these days. I thought that was great too. So, I guess I'll always love the idea of just these things that he does for her that are so crazy and make no sense, like waxing her legs.
Right.
So.
Oh, Anthony.
Dislikes?
I didn't have anything.
Okay, so.
This episode.
I wanted to see Suzanne be better. I think it's a little bit of a sour note for her to go out on right here at the very end of the run, end of her run. You know, we get it. She's always flirting with racism, but this is Anthony. You know, she called him her best friend earlier in the season, and I wanted her to go to bat for him in some way, even if it was privately, even if that's all she could give us. And then I was also sad because there is that tiny insinuation that she really wanted to dance with him, and she missed her chance.
Yeah.
It was also like this final, like, love lost. And I think we've talked about it before, but like, we know that LBT said that if the show had gone on and both of them had stayed, she would have put them together eventually. So
their relationship was throughout the, now that we have the benefit more or less of being able to look back, it was really unevenly treated throughout the entire time they were on the show together, and not unevenly treated in a will they, won't they sort of way, like unevenly treated in a, we all feel like they will until they don't, if that makes sense. Like you said, she had this look on her face like she wanted to dance with him, but she had been such an a-hole the rest of the episode to him, and not in like a a-hole to his face, but privately doing whatever. She's just an a-hole to him. Yeah. So it was just really uneven.
Right.
I think it was definitely not a coincidence she went out on a sour note like that.
Yeah.
But I just think it was a disservice to their relationship.
Right. And maybe a disservice to the fans.
And the show.
So.
And history.
Right.
And this podcast.
On that note, would you like to rate this sucker?
Yes. My rating scale was upper crust mingles. I gave it a 4.5. That's a pretty top-notch episode. I had zero dislikes, so it probably should have been 5. But, you know what I've said before. I'm cracking down a little bit. Like we said earlier, we haven't had a lot of exclusive Anthony focus, so that was a nice change of pace. It was also funny just to see him and Suzanne going back and forth through the whole episode, the whole uneven thing notwithstanding. But just, like, watching the barbs go back and forth was really funny, and I enjoyed that.
I gave it a 5 out of 5.
5 out of 5.
Even with that, because that dislike, it's a picky thing, and it's something that we can't change. And this is a sitcom, and this is only a half serious thing
anyway.
And
we can do whatever we want.
It's mine. But yeah, so 5 out of 5 camera caught smooches. I just really like this one. I thought it was hilarious. It spoke to a really important social issue of the time that still resonates today. We got our Anthony back in a big way. And despite my qualm with the way that they use Suzanne, we did get a lot of her before we lose her forever. And that was nice, as opposed to no Suzanne in the last episode. So yeah. 90s things.
Hello Kitty was the purse that Mary Jo offered Randa.
Yeah.
I put this in 90s things, which is honestly where I thought it belonged. But then I started thinking about Claudia's age and realized I must not be thinking the right timeline. It was first created in 1974. Mm-hmm. The first piece of merch was a coin purse, and it came out in 1975. Mm-hmm. So it's not really 90s, but it's dated.
Well, there was a heyday. A Hello Kitty store in the mall I went to when I was little in the 90s. I don't think that kind of Hello Kitty and that whole world is probably still popular somewhere to some extent. So
it's timeless.
I think for the 90s, it was peak Hello Kitty time for me. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. So it was it's a perfect 90s reference.
I've never been into Hello Kitty. I did use, we had a Sanrio store at Gwinnett Place Mall as well. Mm-hmm. And I did like going in there because they had just like really cute little characters and like cool pens and like cool notebooks and stuff. I liked going in there.
Yeah.
But I was never a Hello Kitty gal myself.
I don't think I could afford any of it, but I like to go look at it.
I like to look at it. Yeah. We also had a Dan Quayle reference for what it's worth. That was my other 90s reference.
The Dan Quayle reference will play into my references at large, writ large, all the largest. I had an answering machine on the 90s list. And then, this kind of felt weird and very of like a pre-Tiger time. To be talking about, like, Anthony's talking about black golfers.
Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Got it. Not Tony. It's like Tiger. Or whatever other tiger.
I thought it was a Hello Kitty thing that I missed. Some kind of mascot. Okay.
Hello Kitty's cousin, Tanya the Tiger. I don't know, just to have a conversation again about black golfers in a pre-Tiger world just felt very like right then, because a couple years later, he was going to blow the doors off of the golf world, you know? And I'm not trying to say that like he came along and racism ended in golf, but rather that just like have that conversation and not have his name stated in any capacity just felt like almost bizarre to me.
Yeah.
Because he is golf, you know? For so many people.
Yeah.
People who know it, don't know it, know zip, you know, about golf. They know who Tiger Woods is. Mm-hmm. So Soul Train also got a mention. Another one that's been around since the 70s, but it was also on in the 90s. So it's not a science. Southern things.
We had several. Yeah. So I already mentioned Helen, the Georgia Mountains. Then there were the follow-up Southern references, Georgia Tech t-shirts, moon pies. Buck Naked felt Southern.
Yeah.
That's how Suzanne would be willing to crawl. Lawn jockeys. Julia, I did not just fall off the turnip truck. And there was an Atlanta Journal reference when they were taking the picture at the end.
Yes. I think the only other one I had was Too Big for His Britches. Phil's Southern.
Oh, yeah. Britches.
References we need to talk about.
Johnny Mathis record. That's what Julia said her grandmother listened to that tainted their bloodline so she couldn't join Beaumont.
Mm-hmm.
So Mathis is 88 years old today. He was the third best-selling artist of the 20th century. He sold 360 million records worldwide. He made an appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show in the late 50s, which heightened his fame. He's also a really big golfer, incidentally. And Selena, you might find this interesting. While the character of Shy Baldwin from The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is intended to be a composite of lots of people,
mm-hmm.
Rachel Brosnahan said she most closely relates the character to Mathis.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, and he's black.
Yeah, I actually had him in the Southern category and then didn't say his name because I got really nervous about why I just naturally assumed he was from the South. But for some reason, I thought he was Southern.
Oh.
But actually, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to like on the sly look it up, and I'm
not
sly.
Your skill set.
It is not. He's from Texas. We'll call it the South. I know some people don't want to. You know who called it the South this week? Matthew McConaughey.
And whatever Matthew McConaughey says goes.
If it aligns with my beliefs.
All right.
Oh, that was so good. Okay, so references we need to talk about. Other things?
That's all I had.
So Air Jordans just pinged for me, and only because the timelessness of that reference now. It always is a good one.
Yeah.
And it always hits. So the Dan Quayle and the Cypress Point thing get referenced. So in December of 1990, Cypress Point makes the news after being removed from the PGA Tour because they refused to admit black members. We are going to replay for this week our extra sugar about clubs. And it's been so long ago. I know you talked about several clubs that were discriminatory. I don't remember if Cypress Point was one of them or not.
I don't think it was.
Okay. So
I talked about Shoal Creek.
Okay. That's in Alabama.
Yes.
Okay. So for Cypress Point, this happens. They get taken off the tour players at the time were saying it was too bad because Cyprus is a great club. I try not to get involved in politics. We'll link to an article that I found where someone was quoted as saying something like, we don't have any discrimination clauses in our bylaws. We just don't have any black members. And, you know, that it wouldn't be right if we let them bypass people who were already waiting on the list. That wouldn't be fair. Did they stop and listen to anything that was coming out of their mouth?
Probably they just didn't care.
That wouldn't be fair. Anyways, that just really sat with me while I was reading it. It's almost like you need to put your eyes on the words just as it's happening. If we need a reminder of how different 1990 really was, Cypress Point is not in Alabama. It is in California. So Quayle was tied to the situation because he golfed there on like a Thursday. This news broke about the membership scandal like the next day or something. And so he canceled the next round of golf that following Monday. And that got picked up by the news. Mm. And then that worked its way into this episode, which also, I guess it is Cypress Point that is influencing the whatever. And probably these other stories that are coming out all around the exact same time.
All around the same time. I think Shoal Creek was around the same time.
Absolutely. So Mashy or Niblick also get a mention. I tried to pull these references for Casey to be like, guess what I know? But then I couldn't remember the names of them. Oh. Anyways, these are like old school golf clubs.
Oh.
Their now closest relatives would be like a 5-iron or a 7-iron for any of our golf players out there.
I thought she was making that up and joking. Those are for real.
They're real. Yeah. Oh.
Good Lord. When did she learn to play golf? That sounds like the 1800s.
It's got lots of questions.
Well, you're supposed to answer them.
Oh, I do.
Now I need to know.
Anthony comes in singing Thanks for the Memory, sung by Bob Hope in the movie The Big Broadcast of 1938. The only connection I can see for him coming in and singing that is that one of the movie characters is held up by a golf game that ultimately leads him to be dropped off on the wrong ship. Anyways, I just figured there was a reason he was singing it.
I figured there was too, and I hit my 20-minute limit, which was really more like a 5-minute limit.
Which was really more like, very bored. I'm not even looking it up.
I Googled it and was like, yeah, this is a bridge too far for me.
Well.
But thank you for that.
And here I am. And that was my last reference. And we've lost Nikki because she's already Googling again.
Back in the early days of golf history and even into the 20th century, golf clubs in a set were not identified by number, but by name. So I just, Mary Jo is not old enough to be calling still something what they used to call.
Nor were probably the writers. So like, where did any of that come from? They weren't Googling it.
That's why I thought she was being sarcastic. The Britannica.
It's true. Just looking it up.
It's true.
Yeah. Any golf terminology they could come up with. All right. Well, that's this week's Extra Sugar. Wait, what?
Next week's episode is actually our season finale.
Can't believe it.
For season 5. Season 5 episode. Can you really not believe it, Selena?
I feel both like it's been 47 years and 4 minutes.
She said to me last time we recorded that you thought this season had gone really quickly, I think. And then we looked it up and we're like, we've been working on this since September.
It was like the gestational period of a human.
Yes.
Okay.
So next week's episode is season 5, episode 24, The Pride of Sugar Bakers. We'd love everyone to follow along with us and engage. Instagram and Facebook at Sweet Tea and TV, TikTok at Sweet Tea TV Pod. We're on YouTube. You can email us at sweetteatvpod@gmail.com. And our website is www.sweetteatv.com. And if you want to support the show, you can tell your family and friends about us and you can rate and review us wherever you listen. And then if you visit our website, you can click the Support Us page. There are additional ways to support the show. And if you come back Thursday, Selena already mentioned this, we're going to replay an Extra Sugar from season 2 of Sweet Tea and TV and of Designing Women. It's the Extra Sugar all about country clubs. We called that segment the Incredibly Elite Bonafide Country Club Fact or Fiction. We talked about the history of the country club, and more specifically, we dug into some of Julia's criticisms of the country club's proclivity toward the isms, more explicitly and directly related to this week's episode, racism. We talked about Shoal Creek in the episode and their 1990 toss-off from the PGA Tour because they didn't admit black members. So enjoy the extra chance to listen to that Extra Sugar.
Yeah. I was just thinking about what your social media video could be for that. You could just like streak through the country club of the South.
I could.
You could.
You're already 4 steps ahead of me.
I'm just trying to give you ideas, you know?
Well, there's an idea.
There's an idea.
That is an idea.
You could get, maybe you'll get a really quick membership. I'm sure that's how that'll work.
That's probably it.
Yeah. Isn't that like what they were all getting in trouble for anyway, was like all getting like too drunk and too rowdy. Yes. So you just fit right in.
This is true.
Just do it with a Budweiser in your hand. You know.
There you go.
Bud Heavy. I was trying to think. Anyway, what we're trying to say is come back and join us for that very special episode.
It'll be here come Thursday.
Well, you know what that means, Nikki.
What does it mean, Selena?
It means we'll see you around the bend.
Bye.